We commonly tell the story of the war in Ukraine in enormous terms. The largest countries in Europe, millions of refugees, nightmarish effects on the whole world economy. This morning we tell the story of the war through the life of one small girl. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports.
It was a Saturday afternoon. There was a buzz of excitement across much of the Kharkiv region. Ukrainian troops had just staged a major counteroffensive, and the relentless Russian shelling around the city of Kharkiv had finally eased. 11-year-old Nastya Gritsenko and her parents, Andriy and Irina, had decided to spend the weekend at what they call their country house in the nearby city of Chuhuiv. Nastya's parents went out to deliver some humanitarian food packets to elderly residents when three large explosions rocked the city. A neighbor, Mikhailo Kantemirov, shows where he found Nastya after the missile struck.
This is a fragment of the missile.
He says she was still alive, still conscious, lying next to the crater where the house had once stood.
And she asked, why this happened to me? I did anything bad to them.
Her parents heard the explosions. They could see the smoke. Irina Gritsenko's first thought was, Nastya, and she raced towards their cottage. Every day, local officials in Ukraine announce grim statistics about the war. This number of people were injured. That number of people died. According to the UN, roughly 6,000 civilians have been killed in Ukraine over the last 7 months of war. Nastya's father, Andriy Gritsenko, is adamant that his 11-year-old daughter shouldn't be a statistic. A statistic isn't something you pick up from the loading dock of the morgue, as Andriy and Irina were forced to one cold, wet September morning. Nastya's body is carried down from the loading dock in a pink, satin-lined coffin and slid into the back of a white cargo van. As my translator, Polina Litvinova, and I are getting into our own car, she tells me that I'm lucky I couldn't understand Irina crying in Russian.
I could hear her saying, forgive me.
As hard as the scene at the morgue was to watch, she says listening to a mother sobbing over her daughter's body was even harder.
She said, like, I don't want to live without you. Who will meet me when I come home from work? And so on and so on. She cried and said, forgive me, please.
Outside a Soviet-era apartment block, there's a viewing of Nastya's open casket. Neighbors place bouquets of flowers on her coffin. A girl, who appears to be about Nastya's age, 10 or 11 years old, cries inconsolably. Valentina Ovcharenko, who lives in a flat two floors below Nastya's family, is passing out small bags of sweets. She says people in the neighborhood have been crying for days over Nastya's death. But she says it's been the worst for Nastya's mother.
Her mother,
Ira, wanted to jump from the balcony and, like, she was rescued from this.
Nastya's parents both work for a clothing manufacturing company. Their apartment isn't fancy. Their cottage in Chuhuiv, with its apple trees and a vegetable garden, was also a simple, unassuming house before it was obliterated. It wasn't on a prime piece of land. It backed up against an oil storage depot. The same barrage of Russian missiles that killed Nastya blew up several large fuel tanks. Like most kids in Ukraine, Nastya had been attending online classes. Sitting on benches in the playground outside their apartment block, Nastya's parents tell me Nastya had always wanted a dog. This year, her 23-year-old brother found a white Labrador for her, which she was enchanted by. Nastya liked to sing and to watch patriotic videos on YouTube of Ukrainian soldiers.
Every
time I came back home from work, she showed me videos and she said, Mom, look at them, they have so much fun. She really believed that they would protect her.
Irina stares into the distance as she talks about her daughter. Kharkiv is just 30 miles from the Russian border. It's a predominantly Russian-speaking part of Ukraine, and it had close ties to Russia before the war. Irina and Andriy go back and forth between speaking Russian and Ukrainian as they talk about their daughter being killed by a Russian missile launched from Russian territory.
You know, I believe that not all people in Russia are so cruel and horrible like Russian soldiers, but I just want to the war to stop.
Nasta's funeral takes place under a cold, drizzling rain at a sprawling graveyard named Cemetery 18 in Kharkiv. Just a few hundred yards from her grave, the funeral is also taking place for a soldier in a quadrant of the cemetery adorned with yellow and blue Ukrainian flags. After the nails are pounded into Nasta's coffin and she's buried in the ground, Andrei comes over to me and Polina. "Tell the world what the Russians did to my daughter," he says. Irina can barely walk. Her sister eases her into a car as they leave. A few days after the funeral, Irina says she's still trying to come to grips with the fact that there's a person in Russia who pushed the button that launched the missile that killed her daughter.
I don't wish them death because I never wish anyone death, but I wish them to suffer like we suffer and to feel all our pain like we feel this pain.
Losing a child, she says, is the worst pain in the world. Jason Bovien, NPR News, Kharkiv, Ukraine.